Welcome to Dead Souls Social Club.
If you enjoy our show and you find our research interesting, please leave us a 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform. Something that small really does go a long way in helping us out. You can find more about us and the research that we do by heading over to Instagram and searching our name. As always, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight we're going to talk about a difficult subject. I'm going to dive right in.
This story is not about me, but it's about my community. 6,000 people, and 1,000 of them were part of it. Of the church, not the cult that came later. That's nearly 20% of the whole town. I would describe this as possibly the most bizarre and horrifying an incident that there can be, and one that most sane people will ever hear. But there we go.
These events were not something that occurred during the satanic panic. They aren't some distant memory or myth from a town surrounded in superstition. These events happened post 9/11, a time with rational thought, right? In early 2005, the town of Ponchatoula in the parish of Tangipahoa, Louisiana, was traumatized by news of a local crime. Residents learned that a local and very well-respected church had been discovered to be conducting satanic ritual worship and committing crimes against children and animals. That's right, a genuine, real-life satanic cult that raped, molested, tortured, and murdered children and animals in 2005. At the center of the emerging scandal was a church pastor named Louis LaMonica Jr., whose horrific crimes left shocked both the local township and also the state and nation at large. But surprisingly, it's a crime that's all but forgotten today and very rarely discussed. LaMonica's rituals and satanic devotion involved as many as 24 young victims, in addition to animals, and also included a chillingly willing congregation in a case that seems like something out of a horror movie or a HBO dramatic television series. From Dead Souls Media, this is the Hosanna Church Scandal. I'm Jamie Black, a researcher and psychologist, and I'm your host for tonight. True Detective, the gritty crime drama written by Nick Pizzolatto and starring Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, is possibly one of my favorite television series of the last decade or so. Have you seen it? I recommend it for sure. But start with season one. The subsequent three seasons don't have the strength of the first, in my opinion. But I'm not here to give you a TV review. I bet you didn't know that True Detective was based largely on this very real and very chilling true story, though. It's something the producers actually played down during its release. Surprisingly so, given as that's normally a huge selling point for most true crime dramas. The Hosanna Church Scandal in Tangipahoa Parish, Louisiana, was the location of the church in question, which, back in the 1970s and 1980s, boasted more than 1,000 of members within its congregation. It was well known for its work and support for schools and children's services in the local area. The church was run by an extremely charismatic and kind pastor by the name of Louis LaMonica Sr. I'm stating Sr. as he named his son after him, and it's his son who will be making an appearance in this story later on. So I want to differentiate between the two. Anyway, throughout the 1980s, the Hosanna Church was, according to Rick Lyman, who is researching for the New York Times, quote, one of the fastest growing Christian congregations within the American Deep South, unquote. Additionally, a member of that congregation, by the name of Bill McCormack, said about LaMonica Sr., quote, "He was an awesome local icon," unquote. The church, however, was later divided following a division between LaMonica Sr. and his son, Louis LaMonica Jr., who would also become a pastor. LaMonica Jr. was born in 1959, and as he grew up, he began to covet the Hosanna Church and looked forward to the day that he could take it over from his father and run it the way that he wanted. Whilst his father set records for the size of his fellowship, LaMonica Jr. thought he could raise it even further, make the church even bigger. Although all this would come later, much later. The church's attendance, however, plummeted from around 1,000 members of its congregation to just 10 to 15 members under the leadership of LaMonica Jr., and relatively quickly too. Then, in 2005, LaMonica Jr., a 24-year-old deputy sheriff by the name of Christopher Labatt, a 36-year-old by the name of Austin Bernard, and a church youth minister were arrested and put behind bars, accused by the police of, quote, "sexual abuse of around 24 children and the mutilations of cats for satanic rituals," unquote. But wait, how the hell did we get here so quickly? Well, let's take a deeper look. And, as per the court documents, the defendant, Louis LaMonica, was charged by grand jury indictment with one count of aggravated rape of M.L. from January 1, 1992 to December 31, 1992. Third parties are identified in the court documents by their initials, FYI. Also, for further clarity, M.L. and S.L. are LaMonica's own children. The document continues, quote, "Count 1 of aggravated rape of M.L. from January 1, 1994 to December 31, 1994. Count 2, 1 count of aggravated rape of S.L. from January 1, 1999 to December 31, 1999. Count 3, 1 count of aggravated rape of S.L. from January 1, 2000 to December 31, 2000. The defendant pled not guilty to the charges and following a jury trial was found not guilty as charged on all counts." Unquote. So on October 22, 2008, LaMonica Jr. was sentenced to 4 life sentences for raping his 2 sons, in addition to being convicted of 4 counts of aggravated rape. The Hosanna Church had essentially developed into a full-blown real-life satanic cult that would sexually abuse children, including Pastor LaMonica's own sons. The group was immediately accused of devil worship and satanic rituals involving the sacrifice of animals and further rituals that utilized cat blood fresh from source within their ceremonies. Its members dressed in long black robes, and the cult abused at least 24 children weekly over more than a 10-year period, all within an empty room in the Hosanna Church's youth club. Satanic writing covered the floor to the ceiling. Satanic ritualistic paraphernalia adorned the walls and was prevalent throughout the room. For all intents and purposes, the room at the back of the church was a black chapel of Satanists. Eddie Robinson was an assistant pastor at the Harvest World Outreach Ministry, a 5,000-member church in the same area of Louisiana, where many of the original members of the Hosanna Church migrated during its decline. Robinson said that the problems of the Hosanna Church happened quite simply because of, quote,
"witchcraft. When the leadership of that church kept the enemy out, everything was fine. But when the leadership of that church let the enemy in, things began to change."
So, as I previously stated, the Hosanna Church boasted a congregation of over 1,000 members in the 1970s. It also had its own school during that time, a Christian-focused elementary school that concentrated on Christian values and learning in addition to the standard elementary curriculum. While the senior Louis LaMonica was an extremely talented and well-respected preacher who was able to draw audiences of over 1,000 people at a time, and attendees from far and wide, he hoped to eventually pass on the church to his son, Louis Jr. But Louis LaMonica Jr. was disinterested in being a church pastor, however. LaMonica Sr. died in 1984, and whilst the church didn't immediately pass to the tutelage of his son, there would be a number of interim pastors in place as head until it was finally handed over to LaMonica Jr. in around 1994. I guess Jr. had a change of heart. During the interim period between 84 and 94, many members of the church started to visit other churches. This was down to the loss of LaMonica Sr. and his replacements not quite being up to the same standards of the predecessor, in their view. Nothing more. LaMonica Sr. was so charismatic and knowledgeable of the gospel that churchgoers found it hard to find a pastor that could live up to what they had experienced with him, and many went in search for that. LaMonica Jr., though, started to become jealous that other members of the church were visiting other churches. Now, bear in mind from the court documents that the abuse he inflicted upon his own sons started around 1992, so it was already underway at the point that he became head pastor of Hosanna in 1994. LaMonica Jr. began his leadership of the ministry by casting out any person within the church who would even visit another church. This would include his own mother, who was working as the church secretary at the time. Further family members of his would be expelled by LaMonica Jr. too, sparing no feelings, affiliations, or blood connection. Louis LaMonica Jr. was very erratic and very strange, those church members who were still present said. They just didn't feel comfortable around him. Churches, of course, rely on a lot of visitors. They want visitors to feel welcomed and subsequently join their parish. So it didn't help in that respect that LaMonica's ways were so unique, shall we say. The now small church had become well known in the area as a group of really weird people, and community members looked at it as a sort of cult. The congregation thus plummeted from 1,000 families to around 10 to 15 families in total who stayed loyal to Hosanna. Another reason for the exodus of members, at least according to law enforcement, was when LaMonica Jr. and some of the members of the church would be charged alongside him. They made a 2003 confession to other church members and sought forgiveness. Most church members, after that, left as the authorities investigated. By now, you probably know what the authorities were investigating. Authorities in the parish first got wind of problems when a 36-year-old woman named Nicole Bernard called from Ohio. Miss Bernard claimed she fled to Ohio with her child from Ponchatoula, Louisiana, after her child told a social counselor that they had been abused at a church. Miss Bernard would keep calling back and hanging up until she was comfortable speaking with the detective. Nicole Bernard was the estranged wife of Austin Bernard, the Hosanna Church's head youth minister. She called the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office from a house in Blacklick, Ohio, where she had distant relatives. This all went on at the time that Ponchatoula had its annual strawberry festival, making it known naturally as, quote, the strawberry capital of the world, unquote. Sheriff Daniel H. Edwards said that initially, Bernard was reluctant to talk in much detail, but later she started to name names and go into far more detail in early May of 2005. According to Edwards, initially it seemed like the child sexual abuse within the church began in 1999 and then stopped happening on church grounds around 2003. Although court documents would later evidence that Pastor LaMonica Jr. began his activities as early as 1992 with his own children. However, Edwards also stated that no one in the community actually believed that the abuse had stopped. Locals thought that just because it wasn't happening on church grounds didn't mean it wasn't happening elsewhere, stated Eddie Robinson. Bernard, going to the police quickly, got back to LaMonica Jr., and the very next day after Bernard had revealed his name, LaMonica walked into the sheriff's office at Livingston Parish, and he had quite the story to tell. Out of the blue, LaMonica Jr. walked into the sheriff's office and verbally described his sexual offenses in detail to the attending officers. Stan Carpenter, the detective supervisor of the parish at the time, said LaMonica came in just to talk, but he ended up describing very candidly having sex with at least two boys between the time they were 4 years old until they were 12 to 13 years of age. He mentioned some cult-like rituals involving the rape of as many as 24 young victims, ranging from infants to teenagers. LaMonica claimed that he had drank cat's blood while performing a ritual over the bodies of young victims, some of whom were his own children. Previous to these crimes being reported, in 2002, Dr. Milton Anderson, who was a psychiatrist, starts treating the children of Louis LaMonica on a regular basis. The two boys revealed to Dr. Anderson that for years they had been forced to have sex with adults and a very young girl, and each other. These revelations emerged at the same time as LaMonica was arrested. One of the boys even had a stack of pictures he had drawn that were very graphic, illustrating the abuse that he and his brother had suffered. In the autumn of 2005, Dr. Adrian Atsimis, who is a pediatric forensic medical specialist, examines the two boys and conducts a full physical examination on each boy. She testifies at trial that they explained how they were forced to perform sexual acts on their own father and other church members. Both boys said they had oral and anal sex with their own father at home and at the church. In April of 2005, Jennifer Thomas, a forensic interviewer with the Child Advocacy Center, interviewed the boys in Hammond, Louisiana. She indicates that one of the boys, who was 18 years old when he was interviewed, and as such, his interview could not be used in court. But a videotaped interview of LaMonica's other son, who was 14 at the time, was played for the jury. In that interview, the boy listed at least half a dozen adult church members, including his father, who took part in the sexual abuse. According to the boy, who cannot be named for legal reasons, the sexual abuse occurred at his house, Trey Bernard's house, and at the church. He also said that he had sex with a dog and a very young girl, an infant. Detective Carpenter said that LaMonica Jr. confessed to having sex with a dog and ritualistically killing both dogs and cats, but it was the manner of LaMonica's confession that startled him. Carpenter added,
"Mr. LaMonica did not act as though he was confessing to crimes. He was just trying to be helpful."
According to Doug Moten, reporting for WAFB Channel 9, a CBS-affiliated news station based out of Baton Rouge, LaMonica said that his wife Robin was still in the cult and still molesting children. He also claimed that in the year 2000, the Hosanna Church switched from Christianity to Satanism. When prosecutors played LaMonica's taped confession during the trial, LaMonica talked about drinking blood and killing animals, having orgies, going into detail of the sexual abuse of the children during ceremonies as young as 1 year old. LaMonica listed the names of others that were involved, who were later arrested. They involved Austin Bernard III, Nicole Bernard's husband, and LaMonica's own wife, Robin LaMonica. Authorities also arrested Paul Fontenot, who was a 21-year-old church member, as well as two others, Alan Pearson and Lois Mowbray. Most were charged with aggravated rape of a juvenile. The deputy sheriff of Tangipahoa Parish, Christopher Labatt, who was 24 years old at the time, was also involved and named by LaMonica Jr. He would tell authorities that he had child pornography on his computer, although he strongly denied taking part in any of the physical abuse. This led him to become, according to local sources, fired, charged, and put on suicide watch. Nicole Bernard was arrested and charged with aggravated rape, and the wife of Alan Pearson was also charged with sexual battery. During LaMonica's trial, his lawyers argued that he was manipulated and coerced into making a false confession. In fact, one of his lawyers, Michael Thiel, who has since been sentenced to 30 months in prison for tax evasion, said that LaMonica was being controlled by a woman who claimed to have prophetic visions. But in LaMonica's second confession, which was played in court by the prosecution team, LaMonica said, quote, "Nobody brainwashed nobody," unquote. During the trial, church members revealed some wild incidents too, including once shaving the head of LaMonica and calling him a pharaoh while chanting satanic verses. The jury didn't accept his defense, and LaMonica was subsequently sentenced to 4 life sentences for the vile rape of his 2 sons. There was very little physical evidence that detectives found at the scene, though the fact that LaMonica confessed and both of his sons corroborated the account of what happened in their confessions was enough for them. Both of LaMonica's sons later recanted their confessions and stated that they made all of the abuse allegations up. Dr. Mayfield, who treated the boys, stated though that it is common for abuse victims to recant their account and develop feelings of guilt following the incarceration of their abusers. Both sons went on to abuse illicit and illegal drugs and fall into a state of depression. This whole sordid mess is something that, as I said at the beginning of this episode, rarely discussed today. But it happened not so long ago. Tonight was a fairly grim episode, but things will only get worse in the next one. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show tonight. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform and subscribe to our show so that you never miss an episode. Our shows aren't sponsored by any company or corporation, so any support you can give us goes a long way in supporting the work that we do. From all of us here at Dead Souls, sleep tight.